Welcome to the Hex Pod, an Arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to reviewing each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
And on this lovely Tuesday evening, we are going over episode 4, hot off the rewatch of called named
Happy Progress Day.
Easy as that. I forgot to turn the cell phone off. Yeah. Oops. Whoopsies. Happy Progress Day. And before we get into that, what happened to this podcast over the last couple days?
Drama.
They fucking shut us down.
Anchor. Drama.
They got a... I think Anchor got a hold of some shimmer and came right after us. they shut us down for like, about 2 days?
Yeah, it was like 2 days.
Yeah. I got an email saying you've been shut down. I was going to fucking pull this up and read it, but it doesn't matter. They shut us down because they were saying that we were a music distribution channel and weren't in...
Trying to advertise their own music or something.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
It's your voice.
My voice.
So like it sounds like an angel.
Like
so.
Marvin Gaye. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we fought back.
I put the
hex gem in my email, sent it to him and said, look, bitch, bring us back. And they did. So we're back. But anyhow, what was I going to talk to you about before we did this? It pertained to this.
Well, I'd hope so.
It pertained to Arcane. So we're off the back of before we get into episode 4, we're off the back of Act 1, which is, I was thinking about it today, it's a coming of an age story, right? Essentially, right? Isn't that what it is? By Jace and Powder coming of age, right?
Yeah. I think that's part of it.
I mean, it's a crazy fucking coming of age, but it is that.
I think it's kind of dynamic in the way that kind of could appeal in more than one way, but I do think that's part of it.
Yeah, because we do get a time jump of, and I was reading this right before, it's 7 years.
7 years. Okay. 7 years. And is that what we thought that the time jump was in the first episode between
from
like
the opening scene?
Yeah.
Didn't you? Yeah, it had to be something like that. Five or something. It didn't sit when I was reading. It didn't say, but it did say. Let's see if I know I have this still pulled up. Let me see. Let's see. Okay, the time skip is 6 to 7 years. So yep, there we go.
Okay.
So we have a 6 to 7 year jump ahead of us now, going into episode 4. But yeah, I think Act 1. I think everyone can say it's a tremendous start to the TV show. It started good, ended good. And with a bang, many deaths.
Kaboom.
Kaboom. I remember you mentioned, I think we'll talk about this later because it doesn't really get into it too much. But I wanted to talk about, you said something about, I was thinking also about this today. You said something about, because at the very end they mentioned, Silco mentions about branching off once to become a nation of Zaan. Mm-hmm. And you said, well, he seems like an anarchist.
Yes.
So I was thinking about this today. Well, maybe we can talk about this now. I was like, well, what is his political affiliation? Because if he does say later on, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, we've only seen this once. We watched this whole thing in like 2 days. Mm-hmm. So I don't, if he gets into it, I don't remember. It all kind of blurs together, whatever, what happened. But anarchism is the decentralization of all government institutions. So there would be like no, there would be no police. There would be no armies. There would be no borders. I mean, that's what they believe in. So, you know, and the argument for anarchism is like community would like, okay, let's say, like the police issue for crime. Well, how they, what their argument is, how to handle that is, let's say if there's 100 people in the community, let's say there's one, there'd probably be about what, one or two bad apples. The 98 other people would take care of that problem. All in like police would be privatized, like you would pay for security. And that's the argument, I guess, on police. Now, personally, I think for this type of theory or this ideology to work, I guess it is. It's more of like a, I guess in nature it isn't a government.
Right.
But I don't think that's what, Silco's for. Like, I'm going to guess, I don't know, there's not a lot of sense of community down in Zaun. You know, like I don't think, I mean, you might have your gangs back.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it would be, if there's, I mean, if we have to think, if Zaun breaks from, I mean, and breaks from Piltover and there's no enforcer involvement in Zaun at all. I mean, cause how would Silco rule? He would rule by being a fucking warlord, wouldn't he?
Well, the only thing the thought that came to my head when you were talking about that is, well, his like I said, his thugs are his goons.
Mm-hmm.
They seem pretty loyal to him,
right?
But they don't seem like they have any compensation for that. I mean, mm-hmm. not that we see. So they obviously, he has a following. I don't know if that counts as a community, but they.
Well, I would assume he pays them because, they're doing the shipments of shimmer, which I'm assuming they're selling to somebody.
Yeah.
So he probably pays them.
Well, like I said, yeah, I know. This isn't a shocker because he did in the first one. He pays Marcus.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, with what were they, gold coins or whatever? I don't know.
Maybe not anarchist, but definitely rebellion.
Well, you would just be like, I don't think. It would just become like if they branched off. I don't know. Maybe we might get into this later. I don't know because I don't really remember. Like I've said before, I don't remember how they get into this. But if they branch off of Piltover and become their own thing, like he complains about in this episode about which I was going to talk about. He complains about how when the more the Hextech gates and the Hex technology becomes more of a thing, Piltover relies on Zaun less and less and less.
Right.
Because they take whatever Piltover needs, they find somewhere else and don't even. So that's what he's complaining about. He's like, we don't have any trade going on with Piltover anymore. So if they break off completely, like, I think there'd be a lot of unintentional consequences that probably Silco hasn't thought over.
Right.
Quite. Because it would be like, there would be no, I mean, where the fuck are they going to get their food from? Mm-hmm. Where are they going to get, you know, whatever else they need down there? Yeah. So
they don't look like much of farmers.
No. I'm assuming they don't make a whole lot of things other than the shimmer and the drugs. So, but I don't know. But anyhow, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about episode 4. Also, before you do that, this is what I was going to say. I remember now.
Okay.
So I get analytics on our listeners, right? Mm-hmm. I told you this before. I know half of you people come from Apple iTunes. So what does that mean? That means you can hit that 5-star rating. Now, think about it. You love Michelle. You do it because she puts up with my shit every day. So when you push that 5-star, think about it, what it does for her self, not self-worth, but for her.
It makes me feel better.
Exactly. Yes, yes. It makes you feel better. So, you know.
For all the hard work I do.
Exactly. So hit that 5-star. Helps us out a lot, brings the podcast to more people who want to talk about the show. So let's get right into it. What do you think about episode 4 on the rewatch?
The first thing I noticed, there wasn't any flashbacks, but I guess since there's a big jump forward.
There was. When Vi thought she killed, or when Powder thought she, fucking Christ, when Jinx thought she killed Vi, she had a flashback of Vi.
Oh, well, a teeny tiny one. I thought it was more of a hallucination than a flashback, but.
Well, it's. That makes you look exclusive.
It was kind of like a flashback that we already know, though.
Oh, you mean like something?
I meant like a story development flashback. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Because usually it had seemed like was it every episode in the first act? They started out with one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one. It's on Progress Day.
Which I think it's just as good because they establish right out the gate, things are on the uppity up, everything's looking good, money's good, progress is good. I mean, everything's hunky dory. I mean, all right, yeah. Before we get into it, but what did you like it more? Liked it the same? What do you think?
Oh, I liked it more.
Yeah,
there's some parts that I was excited to see. So
again, okay, yeah. I mean, it's good. Kind of reintroduces our characters 7 years in the future. Kind of shows, I mean, there's a lot of, I think it, this episode shows a lot of things that, I don't know, is there, ironically, they show what, like how the council was really against which I'm going to talk about this more when the scene with the council members come up, how they were so, now is Jace the one who doesn't want it, who wants to take, wants to stop production on the Hex. And now it's the council who are like, no, you got to keep making, started you got to keep monster, doing it. Yeah.
You got to
keep going with it. And it's like the complete polar opposite of what it was before. I thought it was pretty cool. Pretty neat, and it shows the introduction of the Jinx. Obviously, Jinx comes back as from a powder to Jinx. She's pretty crazy.
In many ways,
many levels. Fan favorite, obviously. But we'll get into all that. Let's go ahead. Should we dive right in?
Sure.
Let's dive right in. Okay, so we open out with Hymer and Jace having a talk about the development of Piltover. It's going their 200th year anniversary. But I'm hopefully pronouncing this right. I think I might have miswrote it, but Starwick Piddley was the guy's name. Hymer wants to give Jace the honor of actually giving the I guess, some type of speech they give every year. Hymer wants Jace to reveal something new they've been working on to try to excite the crowd. And they just kind of reiterate that Piltover is, you know, prospering, very on the uppity up. They don't really get into specifics other than that, but what do you think of this opening scene?
Yeah, so Heimerdinger wants Jace to do the speech, which Heimerdinger
normally
has given it for what? I'm assuming what Heimerdinger is over 300 years old. So this is the bicentennial. So it's been 200 years of Piltover. So I'm guessing every 200 years that he's done it. So it's kind of...
Yeah, is this like an every year thing or every 10 year thing?
Oh, you're right. Well, every Progress Day, they didn't really say that.
Yeah,
or they're just doing it for a bicentennial.
So why don't they have a shitty year? Or was it?
Well, but Jace says is, but you do it every year.
Oh, he did? Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they missed that.
But I don't know. I guess I don't know how long they've had Progress Day because 7 year jump and
yeah,
they said that they had this progress going on for the last few years.
Okay.
So I don't know. Okay, but yeah, but it's kind of like a, I don't know, to me like a. Jason Heimerdinger's footsteps.
Yeah. Well, it shows that they've been over the last 7 years, they've been building a relationship that Heimer seems to be trusting Jace more.
Yeah.
With his research with the Hex. And it also just shows that things are looking up. Things are looking good. And it also tells you that, you know, I mean, this is, I've already said this and obvious, but that Piltover is 200 years old. It just kind of gives you the sense that there is going to be a little bit of history. I mean, it's almost like America. It's kind of new. I mean, it's old, but it's kind of new at the same time. I guess, I don't know. I don't know if Zahn's older than Piltover. Did they say? If they did, I didn't hear it. Or if they might later.
They didn't say in the show. I've heard things from other sources and I feel hesitant to bring them up because I don't really know if they're credible sources, but.
Right.
From what I understanding is they were one nation at one point in time, and then they were separated.
Yeah. When we go to the last episode, like I've been real hesitant about reading, diving into the lore, the game lore, because I know they've changed things and they said I've just been really kind of I stayed away from it because I didn't want to kind of, get mixed up with the show. I don't know. I was just real hesitant on doing like the Lord of the Rings. When I watched the Fellowship, I went and bought all three books and read them all. And Game of Thrones, you know, I read some of, I didn't read all the books yet, but I've read some of them and I liked the lore and stuff. But with this show, I just kind of wanted to stay away for whatever reason. Cause I just knew like they weren't following the game lore completely and they were changing things. I didn't want to get anything mixed up. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, like I said, it talked about the Hex Gates, which obviously they heavily rely on that for like the survival of the city.
Oh, that's right. They did show the ship going through it and it's.
Yeah.
It's,
and they use like through. So, cause I was kind of wondering, because obviously I think Piltover, they want Hex Tech all to themselves.
Yep.
So, I mean, so they have the Hex Gates that harness the power of the Hex Gems. And then that, so that can teleport, I'm guessing. That's what I wrote down, teleport. But they have to be airships, because I was just thinking it's like if they were like real ships, they just like plomp down wherever they come.
Right.
Watch out.
Yeah, I wonder why they can't walk through them. Did they say? They didn't say.
People must be able. People come. It looks like people, like when they show people are on these like balloons, blimp ships.
Yeah.
So they must be able to teleport people.
Well, yeah, I know they can teleport people, but like, why don't they put them on the ground? And
well, but because you don't, I don't really know if they know where they're going to land when they come back out.
Well, how do they know that?
Because I don't think they're sharing this hex tech technology with any other nations.
But when they go to the other, wherever, if they're flying, how do they know? Why don't they just pop in the middle of a tower or some shit? Like,
they might. I don't know. That's their problem on the other side, right? Huh. I don't know. To me, Piltover seems kind of a little greedy here with that, too.
Maybe. Well, Mels does say that she's trying to get in the... She does say later about the investing thing, about the investors to try to invest in the... I don't know if that are those investors in Piltover or investors in other cities. Did she say?
I thought that she meant Piltover, but...
We'll get there when we get there. Okay. Now, it's Progress Day in Piltover. There seems to be a lot of celebration. There's people in the streets.
It's like a festival.
Yeah, festivals. Little kids running around, doing all sorts of whatever little kids do in the streets. And Jace walks up to Caitlin, who... Caitlin.
Jeez. Don't mess that one up.
Can't talk tonight. All right. Yeah, walks up to Caitlin. Caitlin seems to appears to be an enforcer now. She seems to be having a job as watching her mother's tent, which seems to be too exciting.
I wrote mall cop equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be about what it is. And Caitlin seems a little frustrated that she's doesn't have any, I guess...
She wants some action.
Yeah, bigger assignment, I suppose. I have thoughts on Caitlin. She's very... I mean, we've seen this type of character before in other movies. We've seen a lot of these type of characters in other movies. But I think they do it and they execute these characters at a very high degree in this TV show, because Caitlin's very, not naive, but she's very idealistic as far as wanting to, I'm going to be the one to come and clean up these streets.
Right.
You know, and the senior members are kind of like, yo,
we're just chill out. We're just guarding a tent.
Yeah, we're just guarding a tent here. Chill out. And, you know, she wants to be Batman, the ultimate detective over here. And, I mean, to her credit, she does a pretty good job on when she's trying to figure stuff out. She does a pretty good job at it, but
she's very intense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, very curious. But, so now we move over to, this is Caitlin introduction. She's an enforcer now. I would assume she's probably fairly new at the job.
Right. And they make it kind of sound like, she got the job. Because
she's rich. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I meant later, which I was going to get into that later. But when those guards and they're talking outside, they're kind of giving her a hard time. Mm. But we'll get there when we get there. Now, we move over to the cargo bay. When there's guards, there's, what are they? They're like shipment dock workers.
Yeah.
In the goons from the,
Zahn.
I am blanking on the name. Zahn show up and they pay off the guards to actually have a shipment of shimmer, these 55-gallon barrels of it. And as soon as they show up, a gang of, I guess I don't know what they are, but they're a gang. They're called the Firelights.
On hoverboards.
On hover, yeah.
With masks.
Marty McFly show up and they zoom around, fight off the goons, fight off the gang. And two of them go underneath into the dock, and Jinx is down there, kills both those guys down there.
Yeah.
Gets on top, goes back up to the top of the dock. As she's fighting the Firelights, she thinks she sees Vi.
She takes the mask off of one of them, and they've kind of...
They resemble.
Pinkish red short area.
They resemble each other. She kills her. Vi opens up fire. Just starts shooting everywhere and anything.
Grown powder.
I'm trying to recap all of this because a lot of stuff happens in like 5 minutes here. And
basically has a temper tantrum.
Yeah. Then what was that girl's name? The one
Savika, is that who you're talking
about? Yeah, she shows up and basically just tells Jinx that she's was only supposed to guard the cargo and not start any problems. And yeah.
And do they, maybe this is my own fault, but they do end up, because, can we say the name of the group? They call them the Firelights.
Yeah.
So they're there to destroy the Shimmer, and they do.
Yeah, they do.
They end up setting it all on fire. So mm-hmm. Shimmer is apparently very flammable.
Yeah. Yeah, they light like a flare or something, I think. Is that what they do?
So they did not do their job protecting it, and Jinx throws a temper tantrum and makes a big mess.
Big mess. Well, okay, so we get the idea that the dock workers are, they got a side deal going on, but it's one of those things. Is like the guy kind of looked. Is it like, are they forcing this guy to do this, or has he done this before? You think?
I mean, he could have. He might not like that he's doing it, but, you know.
Yeah.
They're pretty gruesome, twosome goons, mm-hmm. thugs.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So when the Firelights show up, they do use kind of to hold down Zahn people. They use like this, like, what is that shit? Like,
they crystallize?
Yeah, yellow crystal stuff.
Yeah.
And like we've said, they don't use that. They don't use it anymore. That's like the only time that, as far as I remember, that's the only time they use it.
So I don't know. Is that like a reference to the game? I mean, you played the game. I don't know. Is there something in there?
No, I don't think so. No, no. No, I don't. Not that I can recall. So, yeah. So I don't know. It just seems like the weapon they have. But those hoverboards are freaking rad as hell, though. I mean, I want upset of them.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, probably. I think there actually is a guy that actually has something like that. And it's like, yeah, I want to say there's a YouTube video of a guy flying around on one of those things, like at a soccer game or something. Yeah, I don't know, but apparently they're really loud. I don't know. But yeah, so this is when we get our first introduction to Jinx. How do you feel about Jinx coming out from Powder?
Oh, I liked it.
You like it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. would she write on those guys? Boom.
Boom.
And put the monkey bomb. Remember, she got her monkey bomb working.
Yep, they work now.
They do work.
Lots of other things work too.
Yeah. Now she when she busts out her machine gun, and she's just spraying and praying, because she hits the big fat goon guy, the tattooed dude, and yeah, I mean,
yeah.
She's just kind of off the rocker and just shooting everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like a guilt thing. She's like, she felt vulnerable for a minute and then
got mad at herself
for doing so.
Because like when we see the vision of Vi, she's pretty upset that she sees it and she's telling herself it's not real. And she's kind of going back and forth and it seems to be, I don't know. She's got a few screws loose, and that's just the beginning of that. So, I don't know. But now we move over to Jace and Victor. They're talking about the hex tech. Jace shows Heimer reveals the hex gemstone. They reassure Heimer that it's safe. He actually hits it with a hammer.
It's more stable.
More stable. Now he shows them what the point of them making this. They can use it to further the prosperity of Piltover by using it to put in tools such as gloves, like the hex claw. So the stuff, a lot of the manual labor is going to be done with machines now, basically.
Machine and magic.
Yeah, the arcane magic. Yeah. Now then, Heimer makes a comment. He's like, "Yeah, he's like, good, 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 good." Now. Spend the next decade trying to make sure this works properly.
Right.
And Victor is not too happy about that.
Right. Because they're excited that they figured out something new and they want to show everybody new and shiny. And I think Heimerdinger's still like, yeah, do we really want to give this to anybody?
Exactly. Yeah.
Anybody to use, you know, you can't trust. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's... you know, this is going to be for the everyday man, basically. I mean, you're going to be going from only the government having this stuff to businesses, just normal right. everyday businesses using this stuff. I mean, I don't think everybody on every corner is going to have a gemstone, but it seems like any type of, you know, your local construction yard is going to have multiple gems of the stuff to do whatever work they're doing.
Yeah. And I was going to say the tools that they showed, like I said, I think it's going to be important later, maybe down the line, but I know definitely for like the gamers, like the claw.
Yep.
So, and then the gauntlets.
Yep.
That they made. So.
Yep. The gauntlets crushed the rocks and the claw almost vaporized that little furball thing.
Yeah. What is, I want to know what that is.
I don't know. I don't know.
I know. It was like every time it came up.
It's Heimer's pet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. he doesn't have a name or anything. So no. I'm not sure.
Cute. I want one.
I think you could some mixed breed of some dogs that kind of look like
it
that.
It had a goat. It had like goat horns on it.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
I don't mean like a real one, like a stuffed animal. I don't know if they're commercializing that yet, but
maybe
I would buy it.
Okay. We'll get right on it.
Okay.
All right. So Caitlin goes back to the ship to examine the crime scene. She starts photographing everything and
there's neon graffiti everywhere.
She notices the neon graffiti. Then she finds the goon with all the thug guy with all the tattoos on his head.
I don't know if he has a name.
I don't think so. It never said on the subtitles, at least. Then Marcus, as she starts to question him, Marcus shows up and puts a kibosh to all that and won't let Caitlin question him and says, "You can go ahead and just take the you can go ahead and take the night shift." He doesn't take her very seriously and wants her out.
Yeah, I say before Marcus shows up, the tattoo guy, he's kind of been shot up a little bit, and he keeps on just saying she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Caitlin asks him like, who are you working for? And he says, he'll kill me. And Marcus is like, oh, too much information here already.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
puts a kibosh to that, and they announce him as he's sheriff now. So Marcus is sheriff. He's
moving taking
over
world.
Grayson's title, and yeah, he's big top dog.
Little so to get know. Promoted, you just need purple monsters to rip open your boss and kill him.
Maybe
just move up. All right, got a few bosses at work that need to talk and buy the shimmer.
Yeah,
but all right.
So it's no surprise that Marcus shows up because he's there to clean up Silco's mess, so it doesn't cause.
But this, this introduces the fact that Caitlin is, she takes her job pretty seriously, and wants to, she wants to do good because I mean, she's there trying to figure things out, and it kind of just, you know, introduces the idea that Caitlin is kind of like a detective.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I don't even know if it's necessarily that she wants to do her job well or if it's just her own sense
curiosity.
Of wonder. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. It's it's probably, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably more.
And the enforcer is just the closest to that characteristic for her of a job.
Yeah. It's probably right. Okay, now this is when we're back down to Zahn.
Zahn.
We are back in the last drop. And this place has taken quite the change.
It's, yes.
It's bumping into a club.
Rave city.
Yeah. What do you think if Vander came back and saw it like this? What do you think he would think? Because he fucking went from an everyday corner, run-of-the-mill pub to the hottest nightclub in Miami.
Yeah. And like I said, when they're walking down the street, they just showed people getting tatted and just basically like everyone's drunk.
Yeah. What was it? Okay.
Well,
so
we're high.
So the contrast. So is Zahn doing better?
I don't know. I would say no.
You would think no?
I would think no.
Because people seem like they're having a good time.
Nah, that doesn't mean they're doing better. That just means they're probably, medicating
yeah, right.
themselves from... Well, no, because they are not doing better. Because is it in that scene? I don't want to jump ahead too much. But we're... Savika goes up to his office...
To explain
what happens.
That's the scene right here.
Yeah, and he talks about how Piltover is miles ahead of them now because of the hex gates.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. This is what we were talking about earlier. The hex gate seems to be okay. So yeah, it's it's putting Piltover. It's the class gap, the economic class gap between the two, or is expanding.
Yeah.
So as Piltover or Zahn becomes poorer, which, I mean, they seem like they're having a good fucking time down there. I mean, that last drop looks like the place to be. But,
well, I mean, I don't know. Are they all being run on Shimmer? Is that why they're having a good time?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
drugs,
that's
drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess Silco does say it. He's like, the further Hextech goes, the farther we're left behind. So the economic gap is increasing down there, it seems to be. Silco's not happy with Savika either. With the botched plan with the Shimmer, because he says that's going to put us way. He says it's going to put him behind because the Shimmer being lit on fire.
Because I'm sure, like I said, they have to bribe people to ship it out. I'm sure they don't get a lot shipped out as much as they'd like to.
Sure, right.
Which makes me very curious on where it's going to. But in this, they don't talk too much about outside. But
yeah, that is a good question.
Who else is getting shimmed up? I want to know. I don't know if we'll ever know, but.
And then they never say. So maybe season two, they might say.
Maybe.
I mean, because what is it, like another, you know, would be kind of interesting if this was like, if they introduced like them slinging it to like, you know, like the Piltover Academy, like, kind of like, you know, like, you know, like the kind of, what am I thinking? Like how like Coke or something is brought into like high up. Into universities, like if they like rich kids were like taking the Shimmer to party with,
yeah,
that would be kind of interesting.
They kind of seem like they kind of make it sound like everyone in Piltover is kind of a square.
Yeah, but I asked the thing the last episode. They do show the citizens of Piltover here. I mean, we talked about it already, but man, they look rich. Everybody looks like they're doing real well up there. So. I guess that's kind of what the scene talks about too, the gap between Piltover and Zahn now. But anyway, Silco does talk to Savika. He's upset with her. He's like, you need to get this figured out. No more excuses. She leaves and Jinx shows up in this, what?
Sorry. Well, and it made me just think, cause at first I wrote down that like Jinx can do no wrong. So like, even though Jinx is the one who lost control and blew it, But then I was wondering, like, is he just saying that because he knew, like, Jinx hangs up out there and that she could probably hear? And so, like, was he sensitive to Jinx's feelings, or was it like Jinx can do no wrong?
I would imagine he's more sensitive to her feelings.
So he's just blaming her.
I would think so, yeah. Yeah, because, she comes down and Silco is showing that he's kind of like a father figure to her. And Jinx does put the Shimmer in his eye.
Yep.
Gives him a little microdose.
Yes, I wrote microdose too. Microdose the Shimmer for the toxic water defect.
What do you think that feels like?
I don't know. Like, it doesn't look like it feels good, but obviously it's addicting, so.
Must be doing something, right? Right. Yeah. So now we scoot right along to Mel is talking to a woman named Elora. Or is it Ilona or Elora? I think Elora is talking to her at a party, which I don't know who that was. But Mel, we're talking at the party. Mel basically says there's only one person I want to talk to here. That's Jace. Jace shows up. Mel and Jace are talking. Mel's trying to encourage Jace to show at the speech he has to give. She's trying to encourage him to show. If you've made progress, if you make technological progress on the Hex, you need to show it. Basically, we need a new leader, and I have investors who want to invest in this Hex technology, and we basically need to show the world what you can do.
Also in that scene, I thought it was kind of interesting at the beginning when she is talking on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say her name. The other lady who is talking to her.
Yes, I'm not sure if that's an R or an N that I wrote, but it's Elora or Ilona.
I think it's Ilona.
It might be Ilona, yeah.
But anyways, she makes the comment of, it was a fundraiser that they were at that she had thrown, and she makes the comment that your mother would be proud of this fundraiser.
Mm.
And Mel doesn't seem very impressed by that comment. Like, no, she probably, meh. So that's kind of an introduction of family.
Yeah, family dynamics. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, and Jace when she says that too, she's like, I'm only interested in one person. And Jace's picture's on a big blimp passing by. Oh, it was,
yeah. That's right. That's great. How do you feel about your face is plastered on blimps everywhere?
So obviously he's a hometown hero.
Well, he's the man, yeah. So, okay, I think let's get to the important part. Mel talking to Jace, how do you feel about this conversation?
I don't know. I'm still on the fence a little bit about Mel. Even from the first act, too, of her intentions.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it kind of seems like there's a little, like, I don't say like love connection, but like an attraction. But then also, like...
Okay, I think what puts this whole thing into question about her motivations is there's money with investors involved.
Yes. And then obviously he's like the top dog of the town. So, you know.
Yes, because I think, okay, so when we've heard like a lot of the political commentary I heard like in real life, there's one thing a lot of these guys say, when you go to Washington, when you go to these parties, everybody's looking for an angle to talk to somebody they can get something out of.
Right.
They always say that.
Yeah.
Is that what Mel's doing here?
Right. Because I was going to say from like first act and even now, like Mel's never made any comments about.
I mean, maybe
she has. I don't know. But it's never seemed like her intention was for the good. You know what I mean? Like the good of other people. Like, I don't know. Maybe in the first act she has said that. Maybe
is there motivations for Piltover or herself?
Herself. Right. Yeah. That's what the question is. And I don't know, like for herself, what that involves either.
Yeah, right. I guess we don't really know enough, but I don't know. Very
sneaky, deaky.
She's not sneaky. She's saying
she's pretty forward, I guess.
Yeah, she says it's foreign because it's for investors. So I don't know, but
I don't know what the investors would be like. Just people who want to ship things.
I don't know.
Or do they want? I mean, has Piltover had a stock exchange now?
Maybe.
But I would say it's kind of boring stock exchange when Hextech is the only
thing on the market. Only thing to
yeah, exactly.
What's the Dow?
Well, I guess more things coming in and out. I guess is yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go to Jinx in her little lair working on her bombs, and this one she has some visions of Milo. And she wants to prove that she's not weak. Silco.
I say there's little dolls there. I don't know. Some people I read said that it was a vision. But some people said there are physical dolls. But even when I watched this the first time, I caught on to the Milo one. Mm-hmm. But there's Clagger one too.
Yeah.
It's this little teeny tiny one. The one with Milo is more life size.
Mm-hmm. I guess this is when you, this is kind of showing that... Jinx is a little cuckoo.
Yeah.
I bet all the wires aren't connecting quite right. And she's a little in her own head. So, she's kind of in her own world and, yeah. And once again, just like before, right before she killed her two friends, she wants to prove that she's not worthless. She's not weak. She's constantly wants to keep proving that to everybody.
Right. It almost seemed like,
she's going to, and then she blows up more fucking people. The same
that's
thing.
Her form of control is boom.
Yeah.
But like a little in that scene too, I remember how you asked me last time about like Milo being like secretly in love or something like that. But to me it just seemed like with that situation with her like having just, you know, dolls of them is that maybe she was like a little jealous of Vi and she wanted to be the leader of the group. So she has those dolls there. So she's the leader of that group.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that could be. So, I don't know. I just think she's fucking out of her mind. But
well, you know.
Yeah.
It happens. It's, yeah. You know.
Happens to the best of us.
Growing pains as a teenager, it happens.
Right. So it's Victor. Now it shows Victor coughing on the stairs, And Victor is just, I don't want to say sick, but he is, it is
deteriorating.
It does make a point that he is coughing. And Jace does want Victor to come on stage with him as he makes a speech. Victor declines. And when Jace walks out onto the stage, he's in front of all the high class of Piltover. Anybody who's anybody in Piltover is probably in this room.
And his parents, right?
Yep. Yep.
So his dad, why was I thinking that his dad passed away? I mean, you know, his mom could
His mom 100% was sitting there.
Yeah. I say repartner up. I don't know if they get married in Piltover, what they do, but.
Yeah. Did they say anything? They don't say anything about his dad. I mean, they showed him in the picture that one time, but.
Yeah. Because she was sitting next to somebody who's wearing the same colors as her. So I don't know.
But. Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah. So when Jace is up there, he's talking about the hex tech and the prosperity that Piltover's seen from it. And as he's about to reveal the new hex gemstone, he decides not to, and he ends the speech and Mel leaves the room immediately afterwards.
So she's disappointed.
She's disappointed.
Heimerdinger is not disappointed. And I think that's why obviously he doesn't, Heimerdinger's words are going through his head of caution. That's why I think he holds it back, but.
Yeah. I think, he probably just had a change of heart the last second. He's kind of like, maybe I should wait. And I think Jace handles it appropriately. But what I think is interesting, and I always constantly think is interesting, is Jace and Victor's relationship, their friendship. Because Jace wants Victor, and he genuinely wants him to come on stage with them. I think there is a ton of nuance with the relationship. And I think as the show progresses, their friendship goes and plays. Like, I'm not going to say it doesn't go anywhere super fucking wild, but it does. It doesn't necessarily go the way you think it's going to go constantly. And it acts more as a real relationship with people trying to understand each other, maybe getting frustrated with each other, but not everything has to come to I don't know. It's just two people working through the problems they have, like real people, rather than just fuck you, man. No, fuck you. Like, it's not like they, like it's, I, it's, they, I, the decision they made with Victor and Jace, I think is very nice to see. Cause it's not something you always see in TV shows. And this just shows Jace is very, you know, he does think his Victor is a 50-50 partner. I mean, Jace would be he would be nowhere without him.
Right. And saying everybody knows Jace, but like no one really knows Victor.
Yeah, exactly. But Jace's picture is on everything.
But Jace knows that wouldn't have happened without, you know.
But I think it's also Victor's choice not to be in the spotlight. Yeah. It's not, Jace is always trying to, it looks like he's trying to encourage him to be out in the spotlight more, and he doesn't really want to be, which I'm assuming has to do with him walking and him being sick. Or maybe he just doesn't want to. I don't know.
Not a style.
Yeah, maybe not a style. Yeah, right. I don't know. Okay, so the enforcers are outside the building as the speech is going on, and Caitlin's sitting with them as they're talking. The enforcers are kind of giving Caitlin a hard time.
They're kind of giving Jace a hard time, too.
Who?
The other enforcers out there. They were saying...
Well, let me recap this scene real quick, then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fire emerges... there seems to be Caitlin grabs a fire extinguisher, starts trying to put out the fire on the outside. The rest of the enforcers try to go in to hear a kid's voice saying, help me, help me. As the, as they get closer in the middle, Jinx's bomb shows up. They explode. Caitlin gets hit by the explosion. The enforcers get killed and Jinx walks away and Caitlin faints. So, what did you have to say about?
Well, they were kind of giving shit about Jace too.
What were they, because
they were they was, didn't think his speech was impressive. Is basically,
is that what they said? Yeah. I was writing some stuff down. I didn't hear like the
big, I don't know their exact wording, but they thought that he was going to announce something innovative, and he didn't. So they were kind of like, eh.
Right. What I was catching is that they were giving Caitlin a hard time because, you know, most of these people just think Caitlin's getting by. Just getting by her name and her money.
Yeah, basically calling her prissy.
Yeah, they might think she's like an adrenaline junkie or something, but like she doesn't really, you know, these guys are probably, they're working like kind of a blue collar type job.
Right.
You know, they're out there risking their lives and they just think this prissy girl is just walking in. Right by her name, but we know that's not necessarily true. Kaylin does want to help. She does want to be there. I mean, look, when the fire busted out, she was the first one to get up to try to go help and fix the situation. She was the one kind of telling everyone what to do, and they were listening to her, kind of. They went into the fire, and the enforcers got killed, and this is a, you know, we'll come to appreciate this was a pretty big deal. Silco was not happy about this, not happy. And Jinx, once again, trying to prove herself, blows a bunch of people up. Anything else to say about that?
No, just trying to think. I think, because let's say, and kind of go back, because when we were talking about Jinx and her workshop, I call it a workshop, with Milo and Clogger, she was kind of, you know, talking to herself and feeling like she disappointed Silco. So this little act was to, hey, I'm not worthless.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not a spaz. Which you are. I
beg to differ. Right. So now we kind of go back to where the back room where the gemstone was. It's gone. There's paint. There's the graffiti. What is that? The purple and blue graffiti stuff everywhere. This is what the council's talking about what to do. Jace basically lets them know that it can be used to make if Zahn did take it, somebody can make a weapon out of it. He suggests to suspend the Hextech usage. The council is very much against it. Mel suggests that Jace becomes a council member. Hyman recommends a vote. So
but Hyman Dinger's behind him getting on the council too. It didn't seem like.
Well, I mean, he said he agreed at the end.
Yeah.
And he wanted to put in the vote. So
and I kind of thought in that scene, and like I said, maybe this is my own thoughts turning, that that both Mel and Hyman Dinger were on board with it because they both in their own way want to, I don't want to say control Jace, but keep a closer eye on him. Kind of steer him in each their own way.
Maybe. I don't know. Mel, maybe. Hymer, I don't think so. I think Hymer probably realizes that Jace can do more on the council. That's what I think. I don't know. But, I think the important thing of the scene is basically the 180 on what they think about the Hextech, about Jace not wanting to do it, and the council members want to go on. Because, that one guy is like, if we stop it, what are we going to send them? My grapes are going to turn into, or the wine turn into vinegar. Yeah. It's going to take so long to get over there. I mean, these guys don't seem to even care about the safety of their own citizens as long as they can get their shit sold.
Right.
So,
true capitalism.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm assuming, and I was trying to figure out, and I didn't know if they'd ever really tell us if this is something we should know, but before, I'm assuming they shipped actually physically ship on water. So now, airships.
What now? What are you saying?
So I'm assuming like before they had the hex gates, all actual ship shipment, like water
going
shipment.
On water. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, probably. And it sounded like it takes like months or wherever they're going. Like, a 2 month travel is now is 45 seconds. So,
into a pool.
I mean, right. I do wonder. I lost my train of thought.
What do you wonder?
I do wonder what I was thinking. Okay, now this is where Silco is upset at Jinx for killing the enforcers. But Jinx does show him the blue gem. That's what I have on this part. But okay, so I think this is important because, in which I think it shows it'll show it more and it shows before. Silco is like. Well, I guess before he killed fucking Grayson with Decker or whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah.
But now maybe he's kind of, maybe he's thinking more long game rather than short game. And he's like, killing his enforcers is going to cause more problems. Because I guess right. I guess now he has a way longer standing relationship with Marcus. I mean, how, right. seven more years of relationship building that Jinx could have just put a kibosh on all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, by blowing them up. So, you know, I'm assuming, like, let's say if we killed seven FBI agents, whatever,
right.
that'd be a big problem.
Right.
And I'm assuming that's what it's kind of like with the enforcers. So.
Yeah, but, and you can't, yeah, kill Marcus or make sure, cause too much drama for Marcus because then, you know.
Any deal yeah. they might have, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, but then she shows him the blue gem and.
You missed the most important part of that scene.
What was that?
That Jinx is rocking out to the Get Jinx song.
Oh, was she really?
In her room, yeah.
Was she really? I didn't notice that. Yeah, that's funny. Okay, Jace walks in, brings flowers to Caitlin. Caitlin is investigating the explosion. She kind of has this map on her ground. Jace does let Caitlin know that he's a council member, that he wants her on her staff, and he lets Caitlin know that she's been fired from her enforcer job.
Wants to give her a desk job.
Yep, she's to keep her out of trouble. She's not
excited about that. She wants... I don't say she wants trouble, but she doesn't want that.
She's young. She's idealistic. She wants to see the action. You know, she's a new cop in town. So, yeah, to find out that you know, that she's been fired, that her parents got her fired. They said so.
Too dangerous.
So, you know, in a sense, her parents aren't necessarily wrong, but I mean, I guess. Jace is being a council member. He might have a little pull, but I mean, did Jace really say he didn't want her as an enforcer either? I know he's going to give her a desk job.
I'm trying to remember, because maybe he hinted at that at the beginning when he was talking to her. We kind of find out she's an enforcer.
Yeah.
That yeah.
And then he wants her on her staff.
I'm sure, you know, they're friends. He doesn't want anything to happen to her either. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We'll head to the final scene. Caitlin heads to Stillwater.
She's looking at her map.
Yeah, she's looking at her map. She's trying to basically Batman detective this stuff together to figure out what's going on. And she heads over to Stillwater, which is the prison in Piltover. Or what is Piltover and Zonda? Does it have a name for the whole thing?
Probably.
If
you deep dive.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe over the next week, I might. Might try to find out some of these answers, but she heads over to Stillwater, which is the prison system. She walks in, she talks to the prison guard, and she wants to talk to the thug guy with the tattoos on his head about more information about the shimmer cell gone wrong. And the guard tells her that his jaw has been broken and he can't talk to him. So she heads down to the cell to talk to the person that did the jaw beating, and to come to find out it's Vi down there. She turns around, looks at Caitlin, and goes, "Who the hell are you?"
So, under message. So that is the reason why Marcus sent the goon to Stillwater. Right, because he knew Vi was there, and Vi was going to make it, so he's not talking. And yeah. Marcus does not want him to talk. So it's actually very smart that Caitlin wants to talk to the person who... made him not talk anymore.
That's some 40 chess shit.
Yeah, ain't so it? Definitely Caitlin is very good detective.
Yeah, she's very good. And this is just the beginning. She becomes kind of a badass as time goes on, but we'll see all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of now we know that Vi's alive, which I mean, who thought she was actually dead anyways, but or whatever. But yeah, she's alive, but it just shows that she's down in prison. And yeah. I mean, that's all we know right so far. So, but like you said, it was kind of neat. About, not to say neat, but it was a, man, the writer Christian Alex, man, they really goddamn creative with some of this stuff about how they get from point A to point B with some of these plot lines. Mm-hmm. And these guys really have their, you know, we watched a few interviews with these guys and they really seem to have their ear to the ground to what makes a good story and what doesn't. Because I don't know. Everything, I mean, it's, I don't know if this is really a complaint or not, but one positive thing about this show is the plot just it it does not stop moving. Right. It just train is going 80 miles per hour and just does not let up. But sometimes it's kind of for its own detriment that like some of the things doesn't have a lot of time to breathe on. I mean, it's easy to miss things. I mean, we watched this shit twice now. And I'm like, that's still, there's still little things that I miss here and there. And probably a third rewatch would probably iron some of that stuff out. But even some of the stuff that like the thing with Heimer, when he, like episode three, when he was really against the hex tech technology, and it kind of showed that he like saw some type of battle or something. It showed like that painting came up, I guess like a flashback, but it never talked about what that was or what it was. You just have to kind of get the idea of what, okay, well, something happened.
That traumatized
him. But you don't really know much more than that, which, I mean, that can be good, that can be bad. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it needs a little bit more, but I think it's anybody's personal preference. But anyhow, that's the end of the episode.
And I do want to say that she spent the time in prison.
Yep.
She's got some more tats.
Yeah, she got some prison tats, but those don't look like she no ordinary prison tats. She's
pretty rough and tough. And
those are good looking tats. She got some back muscles going on.
Did she have tattooed on her face?
I think it was a cross, wasn't it?
No, it was a number.
Was it?
I want to say 4. I don't know what that stands for, though.
There was 4 in the gang, the beginning gang. Maybe that's it.
I don't know.
But that's episode 4. Good stuff.
Oh, maybe it was episode 4. Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, I'm gonna assume not. We're going to do this again next week. It's been fun. You can fly me. You can find me on Instagram at Flying the Donut. And you can find Michelle at
Michelle AOERTEL.
Links will be in the description. Anything else you want to say? You
can send me a message.
Say hi.
Via Hexgate. Yeah.
Let her know how great she is. She's wonderful. So, till next time, it's been fun. It's been real. We'll see you next week.
Bye.